You, please turn with me to the book of Revelation 3. Revelation 3, we'll read verse 15 to 18. Revelation 3:15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. May God add blessings to the reading of his word. Amen. You can please be seated. We want to speak to you this evening, just a word of exhortation on the gold of God, gold that is tried in the fire. Amen. Just speak. I wasn't feeling too well yesterday, today. Very Elijah called me this afternoon. Thought, well, just come and be of a service. It's always good to be in the service of the Lord. Amen. The Laodicean church age, this age is the Laodicean church age. We know it's the last age. Church age, it opened up in 1906 in Azusa Street with outpouring of the Holy Ghost and the restoration of the gifts which opened up the age. And according to Revelation 3, we see before the Laodicean church age, there was a Philadelphian church age. And the angel that signified these things to John told John in the sixth age, behold, I set an open door before you. And from Philadelphia to Laodicea, the power of God took the church from one age to the other through that open door. We know that the door is Christ, the door of his own being. So at the end of the age, Laodicean church age, because the messenger always come at the end of the age, just before judgment strikes, God sent Elijah the prophet. We know he's already come and gone. And now we are seeing that the judgment of God is forming itself all around us in the form of earthquakes, heat waves, volcanoes, and death everywhere. Amen. But when Brother Branham came to the Laodicean church age, his first meeting with the Pentecostal people was in Mishawaka. He did not know much about them. He found them demonstrating the gifts of speaking in tongues and interpretation. And he told the story of what he found there. And from that time, as his ministry progressed, he confronted them and they confronted him on his teachings on water baptism and the Godhead and many other doctrines like the speaking in tongues being the initial evidence of the Holy Spirit. He met them in healings, and while he was going along like that, he came to a point, he told us that there are three seeds that has been planted. Talk about in spoken word, the original seed, 1963, he said, now there has been three different kinds of seed planted. A denominational, Billy Graham, he was the head planter. Oral Roberts for the Pentecostals. Pentecostal seed has been planted. And the word has been planted also. Now if you notice, there's a planting time and there's a harvest time. And all of these three head planters are no more on earth. And I believe that maybe about a year ago, God took Billy Graham off the earth. He was the last messenger to leave this earth. What is he telling us? That judgment is about to strike the earth. Because when those messengers left Sodom, and the fire fell. So we are closer to the rapture than we realize. And that is why there is so much happening around us. Amen. When the Spirit was addressing the Laodicean church age, he said, you are poor. Now, they had prophecy, but God said they are poor. They had speaking in tongues. They were seeing visions and things and all kinds of realms in the Spirit. But God looked at the church age and said, you are still poor. Now, if someone says that you are poor and I'm going to offer you something for your poverty, and God said, this is what I will offer this age for your poverty, and that is gold that's been tried in the fire for richness. For the church to be rich in God and in spiritual things, you will need the gold that God is offering. A part of that gold, the church is poor, regardless of what they have. Amen. Now, it is meaningless for me to say, brother, you are poor, you only have a pair of shoes, and I come here, have another pair of shoes. Amen. So if God was saying to Laodicea that you are poor, now I'm going to make you rich, every one of you will prophesy. Every one of you will speak in tongues. Every one of you will see visions. They'll say, well, we already have that in our midst. Amen. But in Revelation 3:20, we see the reason why they were poor was because they've rejected the word. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I will open the door and I will come in to him and will sup with him. Now he is the word and he is on the outside. And without the word, you are poor. The gift without the giver will not do you much. If I own this pen and I say, brother or sister, I'm giving you this pen as a gift. If you receive this gift, this pen as a gift from me, that doesn't mean that you have me. You only have the gift that I've given you. Amen. So here Jesus was rejected, but yet in the Pentecostal church, in organization, they still have gifts, and up until today, they still demonstrate gifts. The importance of the word can never be overemphasized. That's why when Moses was leaving off the scene, God told Joshua, he said, the message of Moses should not depart from you. Meditate upon the word day and night. The emphasis of God to Joshua was to meditate upon the word. And that is how you will prosper. See, our prosperity is in the word. Everything that we have need of is in the word that God has given to us. But when you put the word aside and you want to use your intelligence, you'll find out that you'll be wasting your time. So while Jesus was on the outside, on the inside they have the blessings. They have the gift, they have the manifestations. But with all that, with him being outside, the Spirit is saying you are poor. So now he's saying, come and buy of me gold tried in the fire. Amen. The prophet of God said in a message, Abraham 56, he said, you know the Bible said, come buy me of gold tried in the fire. In the old days, when they used to try gold, they beat it. And they would take gold and lay it down and beat it and beat it and turn it over and beat it and beat it and beat it until the dross was out of it. All the dirt was out of the gold. And the way the beater could tell, he could see his own reflection in it. And every time he would beat and beat until he could see himself in the gold, he knew the dirt was beat out. That is the way the Holy Spirit does to the church. It beats the stuff out of us. The indifference,
the dross, the things that don't belong into us, that Christ's image reflect back into his church. Oh, he reflects himself in his church because the Bible said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, in the Bible, we know gold speaks of deity. Amen. Amen. And so, which is God himself. And Jesus is saying, buy of me gold tried in the fire. These people had plenty of gold because they say we are rich. But it was the wrong kind of gold. And these things that God is reflecting today in the church was being shown in the shadows, even the Old Testament. And the prophet of God in preaching the church ages picked that up. He read Exodus 25:31 when God was telling Moses to make the seven golden candlesticks. Now those seven candlesticks was a type of the seven church ages. And he said, now thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold. Of beating work shall the candlesticks be made. His shaft, his branches, his bowls, his knobs, and his flowers shall be the same. Then the prophet said, the true church of Jesus Christ, the bride, is likened to pure gold. Her righteousness is his righteousness. Her attributes are his own glorious attributes. Her identity is found in him. What he is, she is to reflect. What he has, she is to manifest. There is no fault in her. She is all glorious within and without. From the beginning to the end, she is the work of her Lord. And all his works are perfect. In fact, in her is summed up and manifested the eternal wisdom and purpose of God. How can one fathom it? How can one understand it? Though we cannot do that, we can accept it by faith, for God has spoken it. Amen. So here we see the Bible says that the true church of Jesus Christ, the bride, which we are a member of, we claim to be members of the bride, we are likened to pure gold. Now, if we are likened to pure gold, amen, it shows that if the gold, in order for the gold to reflect the image of the beater, amen, that gold has to go through fiery furnace. That if we are the bride of Jesus Christ, we are going to go through fiery trials. Amen. Not only the prophet is the candlestick of gold, but it is of beaten gold, handcrafted of beaten gold, according to her blueprint, which was spirit given. He said, outside of our Lord and Master Jesus Christ, was ever a people so beaten and purged as the bride of Jesus Christ? Surely she is filling up the measure, filling up the suffering that Christ left behind. So as members of the body of Christ, once you come to the Lord, you must get ready for trials. Amen. The prophet of God said they are normal and they are part of the Christian life. He said her goods are despoiled. Her life is in jeopardy. This bride, this church. She's accounted as sheep for the slaughter. She's killed all the day long. She suffers much, but in it all retaliates not. Neither does she cause others to suffer. Worthy of the gospel is this lovely bride of Christ. And as gold is malleable, whereas brass will break with the beating, this gold of God will bear her suffering for the Lord. Not bowed, not broken, not destroyed, but formed as a thing of beauty and a joy forever by the trials and testings of this life. The trials and testings of this life are to form us as a thing of beauty and joy for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So we see that Christianity, we all as believers today have one thing or the other that we are facing. Some may be going through sicknesses. Some may have financial troubles. Some may have family troubles, problems at work, different situations. But this, the prophet of God said, these things are normal and they are part of the Christian life. In the Laodicean church, he said, there is a gold of God, 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. The gold of God is a Christ-like character produced in the fiery furnace of affliction. That is the right kind of gold. So the gold of God, amen, is a Christ-like character. Character, he told us, is not a gift. It is a victory. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. But he said, what kind of gold does the church have today? It has but worldly gold that will perish. It is rich. It is complacent. It has made affluence the major criterion of spirituality. The evidence of God's blessings and correctness of doctrine, etc., is now based upon how many rich folks are involved in it. You better come before it's too late, he said, said the Lord. Buy me of gold tried in the fire. Amen. Now, as believers, as members of the bride, as the church of Jesus Christ in this end time, amen, we should not forget that no matter who you are, where you are, what your position may be in life, or what you have as a member of the bride, you have something to go through. There's going to be challenges. The Christian life is not free of trials. It's full of sometimes disappointments, discouragement along the way. But in it all, God said, I am with you always, even unto the end. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. That is why we have to forsake everything in order to follow God, said the prophet. Now he said, what do I get in return? The prophet said, we sometimes, I think we ministers make it a little too much flowers for the convert. Oh, come to Christ. Everything is lovely. But you see, it isn't like that in the way. The saying, that saying, that everything is a flowery bed of ease. The Bible said, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions. So if you are not suffering persecution for Christ's sake, then there is something wrong, said the prophet. Because the scripture says those that, amen, that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. People will lie on you. People will challenge you. People will say things. You have challenges at work. Different situations. Amen. And sometimes you don't even need to defend yourself. Just walk the right path. So at the end of the road, God will vindicate what is truth. Praise the name of the Lord. All that live godly, say, but Bram said, if the devil ain't after you, he's got you. That's all because as long as he's after you, that is a sign he hasn't got you yet. But if he isn't after you, it is a sign that he has got you. So you just remember, as long as he's blasting at you, you are a few jumps ahead of him yet. And just keep on going. So because things you have in pressure here and, you know, things are going bad, things are going rough, and sometimes it seems as if the whole world is against you. Satan wants you to think that you're already on his side. The prophet of God said the reason why he's blasting, the reason why he's after you is because you are a few steps ahead of him. Why would he waste his time on you if he has gotten you already? But the reason why he's after you is because he has not gotten you yet. So keep pressing on. Amen. He himself learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Now, if we are going to be like Jesus. We sing that song, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. On earth, I long to be like him. To be like Jesus is not as easy as we sing. That means if he had a cross to bear, you will have a cross to bear also. If he was rejected, you will be rejected also. Can we say amen? Amen. If his own people turn against you, they will be against him. Is the people that he came to die for, there will be a time that your own will also flip against you. But it is all part of the Christian life. It may be your neighbors. It may be your best friends at school. It may be your, you know, your job mate. People that you work with so long and they became friends. But all of a sudden, one day they will just turn against you. Why? Because you have to fill up the measure of suffering that Christ has left for you as a believer. No believer is free from it. And the Bible says that though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. In order for him to be the author of eternal salvation, he has to go through suffering. Amen. The prophet said the very character of Jesus was perfected by suffering. So if his character was perfected by suffering, there is no other way your character and my character will be perfected without suffering. Amen. It's not a flowery bed of ease. We are going to make the rapture. We have things that we will go through, whether you like it or not. That is why James was saying, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Many different kinds of temptations. Sometimes when you solve this problem and you overcome this issue, there's something else on the other. And then you solve this as something will just come. It seems as if the whole world is against you. But all of those things that is happening around you is to build the character of Christ in you, hallelujah, to make you what you ought to be, so that after going through all of these trials, when Christ look at you, he can see his reflection, hallelujah, through you. That's the purpose of our trials. James said, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Amen. Why are we suffering? Because God wants to build a character in you, his own character, reflected in you. Because a man without character cannot reign. Power apart from character, as we know, is satanic. And it's not fit to rule. The little temporary sufferings we go through now is not worthy to be compared to the tremendous glory that will reveal in us when he comes. Oh, what treasures are laid up for those who are willing to enter into his kingdom through much tribulation. You must be willing to enter in. I was reading Bible history, the Dark Ages, if you see the things that the believers went through. Very, very difficult time. But he held on to the faith. This is your day. This is your season. This is our time. The love of many will win. The love of many will grow cold. Praise the name of the Lord. But there will be a few that will endure unto the end. There's a reason why Jesus said, he that endureth unto the end. It means that there will be people that will come. They will start, but they will never go unto the end. Those are the ones that will be saved. Praise the name of the Lord. But Benham said here that we want everything, just everything, so we can take it easy and retire and take life easy. Life wasn't intended to be easy. Life is a struggle. Anything that's got life is struggling. Look at the trees, how they struggle. Look at everything that got life. It is struggle. It's a struggle. And when we try to get some kind of a system that takes it easy, then we are wrong. And we know there is something wrong. Amen. Amen. And this age, you know, is everything about retirement, everything about, you know, easy and insurance and all these kinds of things. Satan is trying to make life easy for you. But the more that they are trying to make life easy, it's becoming more of a complex. We are living a complex age. Life wasn't intended to be easy. Look, the only resting place is in the millennium. As long as we are in this earth, because we are in this body of sin, there's going to be challenges every day. Yeah. Now, as you grow in age, you come to realize that even your lifestyle has to change. The things that you used to eat, you can't eat anymore. Right? Sometimes you go to a restaurant at home, you see all the ice cream and you see all those things. You want to eat it, but you can't eat because if you eat, you'll be in trouble. Just life is not easy because of sin. That is why Paul said, this is the only hope that we have. We are of all men most miserable. Sometimes we also think that our situations or sufferings are unique. But that is not true. Every child of God that comes to God has something to go through. But through it all, we have learned to trust in Jesus and love him even more. Brother Branham said in a message, we've seen his star. And sometimes we think that our burdens, I might inject this right here, that we think our burdens are so heavy sometimes that there is nothing like it in the world. Do you know all those things are good for you? They are all to mold you and make you. Prophets and sages were molded on the backside of the desert in the hot blazing sun. Through tribulations and trials and persecutions. And these things that we have today, there's nothing happened to us that hasn't happened to other Christians before. Other Christians have had to stand in the hour of darkness like this and even be fed to lions for their testimony. See, why are we facing these trials? Is for character development. Amen. When we go through trials, you think, oh well, nobody knows all my troubles. Nobody knows what I go through. There's a song like that, you know. Nobody knows all of my troubles. Nobody knows my pain. But there's nothing that you go through that Christians before you had not gone through before. Nothing. Nothing unique about your trials. Praise the name of the Lord. There's a believer somewhere that has not gone through or going through the same thing that you may be facing. I've always said that our trials don't have eternal life. And so since they have a beginning, they will have an end. We must have the right mental attitude. Yes. In life, you go through a lot of shakings, turmoils, but if you can stay calm and be still and know that God is God. Because the master of the wind has an ability to calm the wind, to calm the storms. Amen. Those storms of your life. Those tensions and things that is beyond your control. There are certain things that are beyond your control. And what do? You just commit them to the Lord in prayer. Because when things go out of order and sometimes we try to manage them, you end up even causing more problems. There are times that you enter into situations that people don't even understand, even if you try to explain yourself. So what do you do? Sometimes your boss may not even understand you. Every everything will be upside down. But there is one that knows, there is one that understands. And that is the one we should look up to, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's nothing that you go through that is eternal. Sometimes, like a tree, God will have to prune you. And when God prunes, then the other branches will come up. Whenever a tree is pruned, then more branches, more flowers comes up. Sometimes that one branch may be blocking the way for 5 more or maybe 10 more branches to come up. There are things that come into your life that hinders other things to come up. So what God does is he puts you through this trying moment, amen, to prune you, to take those things out so that you can be a fruit-bearing Christian. Prophet of God said in the message, Supernatural, we realize that this is like experience of a Christian. Sometimes we have to go through terrible chastisement, chastening of the Lord, many things to correct us that will be fruit-bearing Christians. Sometimes he has to prune us, cut off, take away, take out of our hands. In order for Branham to be effective in his ministry, amen, when he loves Sister Hope so much that God had to take Sister Hope out of the way, because it was because of Sister Hope that he wouldn't go out to minister. God had to take Sister Hope away. God had to take Sharon away, amen, and that, amen, gave him the opportunity. He learned by those things. That is why he's saying sometimes God will have to prune us, cut off, take away, take out of our hands. If you are a child of God, and maybe God has blessed you, given a nice job, and now because of the job you can't serve God anymore. If you're a son of God, if you're a child of God, God may take that job away. But Benham says sometimes God will even, the shepherd breaks the leg of the sheep to get its attention. He said, he was praying. He said, we pray, Father, today that you will prune every one of us from the last to the greatest, the pastor. God, we pray that you prune every one of us. Take away all that is unlike you, Father. Take away the thing that is hindering us from being fruit bearing Christians. That was his prayer. Now we are also taught, and I want you to remember that the reason why we came here on earth, the prophet of God said that we bypassed our theophany. We came here to be tried, to be tested. That's the purpose why we are here. So our lives are lives of trials and testings. Can we say amen? That is why we are here. And after your trials and testing is over, then after you pass the test, God will call you home. You'll be promoted. Amen. May God help us. You know, Christ is coming for a character. God is not coming for good preachers or big churches or good singers. He's coming for individuals. No matter where you go, some people think, well, if I leave this church and go to that church, my problems will be solved. Sometimes you go to the next church, it will be worse. If you don't take care, that will be the end of your Christianity. We need the grace of God. Can we say amen? If God has placed you here, be here. Brother Benham said, if there are problems, stay there and pray that problems out. We have people who are so unstable today. Even jobs. If God has given you a job, and you say that God has given you, not that you prayed and God gave you that job, as a believer, there is going to be challenges. Before you move, amen, make sure that is the Lord moving you. I said we've been, how many years now we've been in New Britain? We drive over 2 hours to New York at least 3 times a week, more than that sometimes. But I know that before we moved to that place, we prayed. And when we prayed, the amount of rooms, the bathrooms, everything I asked God for, that was what he gave me. And so now for me to move from that place to go to another place, I have to be sure that it's the Lord moving me. Amen. We have to be led by the Spirit of God. Christians don't walk by sight or by feelings or by the conditions around us. Can we say amen? You have to be led of the Lord. If you want to move from this place to that place because of trials and situations, maybe the place that you go, you meet worse trials. Let it be the Lord leading you. Hallelujah. Let it be the Lord guiding you through. You know, God gives you trials to get the best out of you. Amen. You'll never know the love, what love is, unless God raises up someone to hate you. May God help us. And the Bible says to love those who love you. There is no reward. Sometimes God may raise people in the church. Sometimes he may even raise up families. The closest people who watch you the most is believers and families, or people that are very close to you. Unbelievers may do something against you and you can just forgive them easily. But someone that is very close, it's become very difficult. That is why Jesus, the Bible says, he died out of a broken heart, Brother Branham said. He came unto his own, the very people that he was trying to help, they turned around and crucified him. So as you travel along life's journey, God is going to give you experiences. But those experiences are there to mold you and to shape you. Can we say amen? Gold that is tried in the fire. If there was no Judas, there would have been no Calvary. Amen. God sometimes raises opposition. And God himself loves opposition. Because God was the one that designed his own enemy, Lucifer. But you see, Lucifer brought the best out of God. Can we say amen? Yeah. Lucifer brought the attribute of a savior. Lucifer brought the attribute of a redeemer. Amen. If there was no Lucifer, there would have been no sin. And if there was no sin, we would not have known God as a savior today. We would not have known him as a healer. All of those attributes, Brother Branham said, was in God. Can we say amen? A healer, a redeemer, a savior, it was all in him. But how were we going to know him? How are we going to know him as a savior if there was no fall? So the opposition brought the best out of God. And Brother Branham said, the way we worship God today, the angels don't know how to worship God. Why? Because when we sing, they cannot sing Amazing Grace. Praise the name of the Lord. Evil is on the earth to show the glory of God. It takes a bad woman to show or reveal the glory of a good woman. It takes the night to show the glory of the day. We have been placed on earth to be tested. God put you on earth to be tested. Church, trials are normal. Trials are good for you. Praise the name of the Lord. Because they are here to mold and shape you. Sometimes we go with this mind that if I'm a Christian, since I came to the message, everything should just be fine. No? Show me one man in the Bible that was a believer that had a life that was free of trials. That is why Peter was saying, look, don't think what is happening to you is strange. When you come into the message, you will find out that there will be more problems in the message. Around the message, I should say. There will be more struggles, difficulties, and splits. But all those things are there to test you. But Paul was saying, he said, there must be heresies among you. That's scripture. So that those who approve, those who are holding onto the truth, will be saved. Error will come. Things will come. Things. Bad things. Jesus spoke about the oncoming storm. Listen, the same things that you face. If you think that you leave church and you go out there, life is going to be easy for you, you are making a big mistake. Because the very challenges that you face here, amen, the people of the world are facing it. But the difference is we have a hope, hallelujah. We have a rock of ages. We have one that we can turn to. That is why they take their life, they commit suicide. Amen. Jesus spoke about the oncoming storm. He said there were two builders, one built upon the rock and the other built upon the sand. Yes. And the rock is the revelation. Yes. Can we say amen? And so if you think that, oh well, I'm tired with the message, since I came to the church, things are going bad. When you leave church, you will end up committing suicide. Yes, or you go insane. Some people can't even sleep without taking pills. But when we come to church, in the midst of all the trials and the struggles, the disappointments, the hurts that we go through, we fall on our knees, we hear the word of God, and the word comes into our spirit and our souls, it brings healing, hallelujah. It gives us strength to go on. The gold of God that's tried in the fire. Praise the name of the Lord. Listen, friends, but Benham said it was until the Hebrew children were forced into the fiery furnace, one of their most outstanding trials, that they seen one like the Son of God standing among them. Their troubles produced the Son of God standing among them in the breezes to wave away the heat. But not until they went into the fire did the Comforter appear. So you see, when you are going through trials and bombardment from the enemy, pressures, opposition, all kinds of things, if you watch closely, you will see God and they understand. There is a purpose why you are going through those things. But Abraham said, if it doesn't have a purpose, then he is the author of frustration. They had to go through the fire. But he said, when you go into the fire, I will go with you. They held on to the word. They said, we know that our God is able to deliver us. See, I'm feeling good now. My blood pressure was very high. I was laying down the whole day. But when Elijah called me to preach, well, you know, I must go to be in service. Because I know that healing, I can get my healing even in the church. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. You see, so when you go through these difficulties, God hates murmurings and complaints. Yeah. There's a purpose. When Job was going through those trying moments, Job was going through difficult times, he did not know why all those things are happening. Now it's easy to talk about these things, but when you are going through them, it's a different story altogether. You need grace.
And
look, you know your trials are also predestinated. Because the shepherd is the one that selected the path that you must tread on. Daniel, who had a purpose in his heart that he would not defile himself with the things of the world, was forced through a trial. Whether he will pray to God or go to the lion's den, but it was after the heat was put on, he was thrown into a lion's den that after that he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the midst of him, keeping away that great pillar of fire, standing between him and the lions. And the lions could not get him because he had went through the trials and temptations and troubles. And he knew that his God was able to deliver him from that. So you see, sometimes when you have trials and temptation, it's because God wants to show his glory. Amen. But we don't understand that. Look at every time in the scripture, you see, an angel appeared. It was when either they were in prison. Right? In the book of Acts. And the church was praying. The trials put you into desperation. The trials and temptation draw a believer closer to God. Hallelujah. When everything seems to fail, when everything seems to turn against you, sometimes you pray, it's as if that God is not even hearing your prayer. But Brother Branham said, after you've done all, you've done what you're supposed to, you've confessed your sin, he said, that is the time to be certain of God. Our father Abraham, after he got through the barren land, the whole place was dried, drought came. It was God that told him to go to the promised land. It was right in the will of God. Because you are in the will of God, that doesn't mean that you are not going to have problems. In fact, that is a sign that you are going to be tried and tested. Because God will look at you to see whether you believe his word or not. So Abraham right there in the promised land, you know, everything got dry. It was during this difficult moment that his own cousin, a nephew Lot, separated from him. The time he needed encouragement from brother Lot. The time arguments came into the family. Troubles. And Lot took the easy way. It's very easy to take the easy way. Is that right? But God wants us to trust him. The way of the cross is not easy. You find out that road that you are taking, you think is easy, is going to cost you more than you realize. At the end, you may prosper for a while. It may seem as if everything is fine. And when Lot went to Sodom, Lot, everything was prospering. He became a mayor of the city. But you see, everything he got in Sodom and everything he brought into Sodom, he lost all. God give us grace. Don't leave the message. No matter what happens, stay with the word of God. When Abraham had gone through all these difficult moments, at the end, one day was the time that Elohim appeared to him. Now here Abraham had a promise that you have a son. For many years he has been waiting for the fulfillment of that promise. The son was not coming. People were making mockery of him. For many years we believed this message. We come service after service. We don't see things happening the way we should. Once in a while, you know, there are challenges that comes within the church, discouragement. But hold on to the word, hallelujah. One day God will reveal himself to you. One day God will vindicate. At the end, hallelujah, he will vindicate this message. But opposition and the problems and the trials are there, amen, to draw you closer to God. To prove you, to test you, to show that you believe the word. Sometimes you are sick, you pray as if your prayers are not answered. Sometimes, you know, your finances go too tight. Still, you have to pay your tithes and offerings. But say, Lord, but I'm paying my tithes, I'm paying my fee. Why is it that things are rough? God is taking you through a journey. Hallelujah. At the end, he will reward you. May God give us grace tonight. We are speaking about the gold that is tried in the fire. As believers, you will never have a trouble-free or pain-free life. He never promises flowery beds of ease. Whoever you are, whatever you are, whatever you've done for God, sometimes nobody may disturb you physically or maybe say anything to you, but still in your spirit you feel troubled. Demons attack your spirit. You become restless. You feel depressed. You feel weary, and you don't know, you don't even want to talk to nobody. Amen. Really, if we are asked to make, as human beings, if we are asked to make a choice, the natural man will choose the easy way. Brother Branham said, through Easter seal, there are so much promises today made amongst Christian people. So many ministers promise that the people are false thing. If you just come to Christ, all your troubles is settled. I tell you, when you come to Christ, then they begin. They then begin. That is when you put on your uniform and take a gun and enter the battlefield. This Christian road is not a flowery bed of ease. It is a battle from the very hour you start until your spirit is set free by death. You are not at no picnic. You are on a battleground. So we are promised, and so we are promised things. You see? So once you come, that's Paul was saying, put on the whole armor of God. Because you are in a warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. And he said in our waking, Jesus, let me say this, brother, tonight, in all our troubles, we still got the remedy. Here it is, for he is the word. It is laid right here. And his spirit right here to manifest it. So we got the remedy, but we try to find other things to start other organization. That is us. We can't master it. It's already been mastered. We just fail to walk in the way that's been mastered for us. Can we say amen? Amen? God has already made a way. All you need to do is to believe his word. Amen. Like the three Hebrews boys, they look at the word, they look at the trial, they said, well, we'll stand with the word. And when you stand for God, God will stand for you. God will never let you down. No matter how that boat may be rocking, it seems that sometimes it seems as if everything is falling apart. But if you hold on to the word, the last moment he will come on the scene. Because our God is not a failure. Blessed be the name of the Lord. May God help us. And sometimes when we have trials and temptation, opposition, we ask for comfort. But let's see what the prophet of God said. He said, we ask for comfort and peace. God give us the best he could give us. Trials and tribulations. That's better than comfort and peace. Our comfort is just beyond the river. Praise the name of the Lord. Look, you cannot find peace in money. Peace is not in how fat your bank account is. Now, we ask for comfort, God gives trials and tribulations. That's the prophet. Time-tested memorials of God, I'll soon close. The fire only waters it. It only gives us new hope. It only strengthens every trial, every testing. Every time a wind hits a tree, it shifts it back and forth, back and forth. It only loosens the roots. So that he can grow deeper and get a better hold. That's what the trials does to a believer. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. And the prophet said, those who follow the pillar of fire will certainly have a rough time.
It's a promise.
But you see, in the midst of the fire, he will take the heat away. Can we say amen? He will be the fourth man in the fire. I like this. Somebody said, not all storms come to disrupt your life. Some come to clear your path. Praise the name of the Lord. Not all storms come to disrupt your life, but some storms come to clear your path. Or sometimes we take communion, wine. Or let's say we buy grape juice. We enjoy some of the grape juice. Is that right? But before you can get the grapes, what happened? The grapes has to be crushed before you can get the juice out of it. Sometimes your life has to be squeezed in order to manifest the glory of God. There's no perfume if the flowers are not crushed. What am I saying? The pressures that comes in your life, they are coming to bring the best out of you. So if you look at our trials that way, then we say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Even if the Lord takes, he's the one that gave. Listen, there's nothing you deserve. Even to come here on earth, you never prayed to God to come here. God brought you here. And everything that we enjoy, we met it here. They say, oh, I'm a hard worker. I work hard to earn my money. Who gave you the strength to work? Who gave you the health? Go to the hospital tonight. There are many people who are suffering. So there's nothing we owe. There's nothing we get. There's nothing we do that doesn't come from the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. The prophet of God said, sometimes God will even bring tensions into the church. He will let sickness strike you. He let diseases come on you to test you and to prove you. He permit disaster. He permit friends to turn against you. He permit all these things. He turned the devil loose to tempt you. He will do all but take your life. He could throw you on a bed of affliction. He could turn your neighbors against you. He could turn the church against you. He can do most anything. It is God's will for him to do it. We are taught that it is more precious than gold to us. There are things that you pray for God to remove. God will never remove them. When they left Egypt, he led them to the Red Sea. God did not remove the Red Sea, but God opened the Red Sea. They went through the Red Sea. The solution is in the problem. Yeah. The path to the Red Sea, the path to the other side was right there in the problem. Because the Red Sea was a challenge to them. But God just opened. Can we say amen? Amen. The fire was there. But the solution came in the fire. When they stepped into the fire, then he came. So the solution is in the problem. Hallelujah. All we need to do, not to run away from the problem. To remember, Brother Branham, there was a storm that was coming. And in Colorado, and Brother Branham was running away from the storm. God said, go back to the storm. Sometimes God allowed those storms, amen, amen, for you to go to the storm and ask you to speak to the storm, hallelujah, and the storm will roll back. May God give us grace. All of these trials that we go through, whatever your trial may be, whatever your disappointments are, they are there for a purpose. Nothing happened to you by chance. Oh, sometimes we feel pressured. Sometimes we feel discouraged. Sometimes we feel disappointed. Sometimes you feel hopeless. Sometimes you feel as if nobody understands you. Everything will just flip. Your neighbors may not understand. Your friends might not. But there is one that knows. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The trying of your faith worketh patience. And the scripture says, let patience have her perfect work. Because patience, God is trying to put patience in you, the stature of a perfect man. And there are things that we go through over and over again because we fail the test. Before you are promoted, you have to pass the test. If you don't pass that test, you'll go through it again. Is that right? So all of these trials, and finally when God sees this, his reflection in you. We just lost a brother, precious brother back there. We had his funeral service on Saturday. Love the Lord, you know, very faithful. For years he's been sick. We prayed to God. He was in a coma for weeks. We prayed, the church prayed, believers prayed, and he came back. And he was okay, you know, took him to a rehab center. He was there, and then finally God just took him home. Sometimes it seems as if you've prayed and God never answered your prayer. But that is not true. I was telling the church, look, there's three ways God answers prayer. Every prayer you pray, he answers. He either say yes, no, or wait. But we only thank God when he says yes. But when he says no, we should say amen. Lord, I thank you. Is that right? Yeah. When he says no, that means that is his will for you. Sometimes he says wait. But we are so impatient. Because everything must be done now and now. May God give us grace. The trying of your faith worketh patience. We are here to be tried. The gold of God. Going through trials. Whatever your trials are, go home and begin to thank the Lord. Lord, I thank you for my trials. I thank you for these problems. I don't know. And when you have that attitude, you see, when you do that, you confuse the devil. Yeah. Yeah, you confuse the enemy. With all he tries to do, you are still coming to church anyhow. With all he tries to do is say, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Lord, I love you. You are here to be tried. After your trials are over, you go home. You'll be promoted into your theophany. There's a resting place. Let's stand to our feet. May God bless you. I trust these few words is an encouragement to you tonight. Let's sing, Change My Heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. Change my heart, oh God. Change my heart, oh God. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. Now are the potter, I am the clay. You are the potter. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my heart.
God, make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, this evening, for the opportunity we have to come into your presence, oh Lord, to hear your word. Lord, to bring us to the realization that our trials are for our good. They are all working out for good. Paul said, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, that are called. Lord, we know we are called in this end time. I pray, Lord, that you give us the right mental attitude towards every situation that we face. Help us to stop murmuring and complaining, Lord. But help us, Lord, to start thanking you and praising you, Lord, for all that we are facing. Good or bad, Lord, there's a purpose in all of our trials. I pray you bless your people. May the Holy Spirit follow the word, Lord, and make it real in our hearts. I trust, Lord Jesus, that you anoint the word and quicken it, Lord. Give us grace to believe and to hold on even unto the end. Lord, take away murmuring and grumblings from our midst, Lord. But to say thank you for every situation that we face. We thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for our trials. We thank you for every situation. We commit ourselves as these blessings now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Change my heart, oh God.
Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. Change my heart, oh God. Change my heart, oh God. May I ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. You are the potter. For you are the potter. I am me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. Change my heart, oh, change my heart, oh God. Yes, Lord, make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. Lead me, Lord. I will follow. Lead me, Lord. I will go. For you have called me. I will answer. Lead me, Lord. I will follow. mornings when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus when I'm alone. Oh, when I am alone. Oh, when I am alone. Oh, when I am alone. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. When I am in prayer, oh, when I am in prayer, oh, when I am in prayer, when I am in prayer, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Give me Jesus. When I come to die, oh, when I come to die, oh, if I come to die, give me Jesus.